to the Insurance Business Babes podcast, where we show you how we've grown our insurance and related businesses through talking about what works for us, what didn't work, and we'll help you grow your own business through our struggles and our successes. This show is owned by CMED LLC and hosted by Kathy Klein and Joanna Wyckoff. And now, let's get busy. We have got a great topic to talk about today because I was just looking at my email and I get so much crap. In fact, yesterday when I was enrolling a client, I do this all the time because I share my screen with clients when I do an application. When it gets down to the part where the agent says they're doing their thing and you're agreeing as an agent to do whatever and it asks for your email, I have a different email address that I give to the Department of Insurance, the carriers. And I always tell the clients, don't write down that email because that's the email that I give to my carriers because I get so much stuff from them. It would clog up my email and I would never see your email. So yes, that's what I want to talk today about is how to manage all of this stuff that we get. And I know this is a hot topic for you too.
Yeah. I learned very early on that when I gave the Department of Insurance my email, that I was suddenly being called by all these recruiters calling my phone saying, hey, we see that you're newly licensed in the state of Kentucky. I'm like, I've been selling insurance for a long time. But as soon as you get a new license too, it doesn't have to be a resident license. If you go get a non-resident license, you're going to get an influx of calls because the Department of Insurance sells our information. And I don't know how that's legal. I don't know why it's a thing, but they sell it to recruiters. They sell it to other businesses. And it's distracting to say the very least, especially when you're trying to conduct business and your phone is ringing off the hook and you might think it's a prospect, but it's not a prospect. It's someone trying to get you to sell annuity products for them or life insurance for them or something. And I'm like, listen, like, I don't have the time of day to sit here and be pitched. Like, I'm not a new agent. I'm not looking for a new home. I don't know who gave you the permission to call me. It wasn't me. And actually today I was on somebody's constant contact email distribution list for solicitation. And I responded back to them. I said, I never gave you permission to add me to your constant contact email distribution list. Never, because constant contact, I use them myself, but on the constant contact, it specifically says, do you have permission to email this person? And I said, I've never given you permission. And I know the company very well. They're a big competitor in our space. I've never given you permission to solicit me by this constant contact. So you lied, right? Because I wanted to make a point more than just unsubscribe. You added me telling another company that you had permission to contact me and you don't, right?
Well, here's the thing though. Whether they did that or not, they're not going to get in trouble for it because there's no rules against adding a business.
Right.
All of the rules around do not call, do not solicit, do not email, those are all around individuals. They're not around business. And if you're using your personal cell phone as your business,
you'll never be accepted on the do not call list.
That's right. Well, you might be accepted, but you're not going to win because you're using that number for business. Exactly. And I know we've talked about this before. Don't do that. You want to have a separate business line. But same thing with email. And so all of these years, so I have been licensed since 1990.
Wow.
That's when I first got my first insurance license. And I always will go in and click unsubscribe. Mm-hmm. About 2 weeks ago, I said, you know what? I am sick of this. I'm just marking everything as freaking spam.
I like it.
I just mark it as spam and then I just move on. And then I don't see it anymore. Mm-hmm. The problem is that some of these, especially the ones that are outside the US, they're not asking me about insurance. They're asking me about, do I need a recruiter? I'm like, no, I don't need a recruiter. Yeah. All these things. And so I will mark one of them as spam. And then for some reason, it's like Susie at spam.com. I'll mark
Susie, and then all of a sudden Jonathan at spam.com gets through. And so I'm like, I'm just saying this all goes to junk. Anything from spam.com goes to my junk. Like, right. I don't even want to see it anymore. I get so much stuff. And Joanna, I hate to say this, but you know what's going to happen next? People are going to get sick of these text messages. I got a text message the other day from Humana telling me, I never gave them permission to text me. I don't give permission. Like even my doctor and stuff, I'm like, I really do not like it when I'm getting a lot of, I don't want texts from people unless it's like I'm at the airport and right. my flight is, I want that text, but right. I don't want a text from American Airlines telling me that I could qualify for 100,000 points.
I know. Guess what? I came back from a cruise last week. Guess how many text messages I had waiting for me to download when I turned my phone on?
How many?
So over 100. And they were all from companies like trying to sell me something. From beach towels to lipsticks to...
Was that from being on your cruise or something else?
It probably Google selling everything. The fact is, it clogged up the important text message. You know, so when you have clutter, you can't see the important things or people that you want to interact with, whether it's your family members, friends, business clients. It's frustrating. It really is. So we've been talking many times. We've already talked about VIP lines, right? I believe everybody should have a VIP line. I believe everybody should use a virtual mailbox. I think an agent needs multiple emails. I own a couple domains. So I own Joanna at Top Flight. That's my personal email for business. And then I have an agency one for the agency contracts. I have ones where I have with Gmail that I have like the spam to go to. So for the DOI, I have it go to like Joanna at something else. And that's where the DOI goes to. But you don't want to miss important things. Now, here's the thing that I know about the Department of Insurance. DOI stands for Department of Insurance. Usually, if the Department of Insurance wants to talk to you, it's usually something, it's snail mail. It's usually official correspondence. I've never seen the Department of Insurance call you and say, hi, Kathy, we got a complaint about you. You're a bad girl. No, and I've never seen them email. Maybe I'm wrong. But it's usually snail mail where it's official correspondence.
I can tell you why.
Why?
Because they know it's going to get lost in the sea of other spam. They're not going to email you. You know what I did? So a couple of years ago, I was getting so much spam. Actually, I think I bought it because I wanted to have a contest with my clients. I bought the domain. You're going to laugh.
What is it?
Medicare Mail. I bought the domain Medicare Mail.
I like
and
it.
So that's like my email now for all of the Medicare mail that I get. Mm-hmm. But I was going to have a contest like, show me your 4-inch stack of Medicare mail.
Yep.
And we'll have a contest. Somebody wins something once a month who has the biggest stack. I get so much Medicare mail now. That's what I use. I use the domain Medicare mail. I should sell that to other insurance agents so they can use it for their spam email too. You know, you can't use it with clients because it's probably not compliant to have Medicare mail.
With clients, you want to give them the most attractive email that you're actually going to answer and get. And here's the thing. You don't want to give Delta, Home Depot, Bath & Body Works the email that you give to clients. Don't give that email to protect that email with your life. Treat it like your social security number and your credit card. Don't give it out to everybody and their mom because it'll start to look like a dumpster. You know? And you'd be like, I didn't see this email that you wanted me to write your policy and all of your 20 friends because it was cluttered.
And that's true.
I give the carriers their own email because sometimes the carriers do send very important stuff. Yesterday, there was an email blast from one of our carriers alerting us that their Medicaid lookup tool was working. And that was really nice.
I got that email too. We should create an email for each carrier. If you have your own domain, there's a way to create dummy emails where
yes.
it's not a real email, but it goes to you. We should create UHC at myemail.com.
Yes.
CI whatever at my, and then you know if they're selling your email because,
yes.
because it'll come from the recruiter, but it's going to UHC at myemail.com.
My partner Zach does that. He taught me how to do it for one of our businesses. I use a Gmail G Suite, info@medicarementors.com. And he's showing me how I can create fake emails in there, like dummy email accounts for each of the agents and stuff. Cause I was like, well, I don't know how to create an email for Kathy and Medicare Mentors. Like, how do I do that? He showed me how. It's really cool. He's the tech brain behind the business. Do something like that. You know, I think it's important that insurance agents do read their carrier's emails and skim through them. Because a lot of my agents be like, oh, I didn't open up my email when they got something big. Like,
well, you have to. What if you've got a client that's canceling and you need to contact them and find out, are you really canceling or did somebody fraudulently transfer you to another carrier and you just don't really know it?
Right. If you ever have a carrier complaint, they usually only give you 2 to 5 business days to respond to. So you need to make sure that you see that. So you don't want to disrupt it with all the solicitations. A couple years ago, there was a couple of recruiters who were blindly sending ACA contracts to agents on an email distribution list. And agents would say, hey, Joanna, is this from you? It says Oscar or United Healthcare on it. And I know I'm waiting on my Oscar United Healthcare. So is this from you? And that's why you want to make sure that the email that you give people is protected. People actually accidentally gave contracts to people they never had any idea who they were. They just assumed it was from their upline and it wasn't. It was under Joe Schmo, who just had an email distribution list and was blindly sending out contracts. Crazy, right? So I think it's really important to have different emails and to review them, but have your assistant, if you have one, go through the junk mail periodically and sift it. Like when you're down, you want to not see the distractions during business days.
But there's another way to do it. If you don't want to create different emails. Mm-hmm. If you just want to have the same email, I mean, I don't recommend that either. I do recommend having 2 emails, one for carriers and one for clients. But if you didn't want to do that, you could just create folders. You could have a folder for carrier A, a folder for carrier B, a folder for carrier C, and then go through it. That to me seems like more work, but actually, it's all work. No matter what you do, it's all going to be work to try to, I mean, it can bury you. All of the stuff that we get and all of the paperwork that we have to maintain. I mean, look at scope of appointments. How long do we have to? That's just crazy. And now I am changing my CRM, finally. And so right now I'm in the mode of doing research and trying to figure out what I'm going to do.
Good research, because a CRM today texts one of my downline agents to solicit contracts.
What?
It was really disheartening because you're supposed to be a Medicare search tool, CRM sort, and now you're soliciting contracts because they didn't disclose their affiliations and they're crossing the data pass. If it's okay to own 2 different entities, but the data pass should never cross.
No, it should not.
I own Top Flight Insurance and I also own Medicare Mentors Media. Medicare Mentors Media has its own LLC. The clients who register for my training never get solicited by Top Flight. It's church and state.
One of the CRMs that I thought was owned by somebody that didn't do insurance. I just found out that that person does do insurance because they are now in partnership with Integrity and there was a PR thing that came out. And I was shocked. I had no idea that that person did insurance. I didn't know. I thought all that person did was a CRM. So that was a little disheartening, I guess, because that was going to be the CRM that I was definitely going to choose because the other CRM that was similar is also owned by another insurance agency. Mm. And do you know that if you become they call it a sub-agent.
Mm-hmm.
This is for people who are considering any of the go high level. So there's pros and cons. So I am looking at go high level. However, you need to understand that if you become a sub-agent of anybody who can make your life easier because those companies that do go high level for you, there's more than one of them. I'm not going to mention the names, but there's more than one. Now, they probably will release your data, but do you know they don't have to? Because mm-hmm. I contacted Go High Level directly and I said, if I go as a sub agent, can I automatically get my information if I want to leave that agency? And they said, no, that agency can refuse to give you your data. Why would I go with a sub agency? Did you know that if you do not go with a sub agency on Go High Level, that your data is not HIPAA compliant unless you are paying an extra $250 or $300 a month for that BAA HIPAA compliance? So that would be a reason to go because then you're only going to pay $100 a month and the agency is covering that. And you want to get your BAA from the agency.
Right.
So now I'm like, what do I do? Do I go with them? And so I'm looking at some of the other CRMs for that BAA and find out what they charge or if it's included. Like, for example, what's the one?
Radius Bob.
Yeah. Why do they name it Radius Bob? I can never remember the name of that. They're HIPAA compliant, but I don't know if they give you the BAA. Some of these companies say they're HIPAA compliant, but you as an insurance agent are supposed to get a BAA from all of your vendors that are going to have client information. And guess what? Your CRM has client information.
For the listener, can you explain what a BAA is? Is it a certificate? What is it?
Basically, it's a signed document saying that they're HIPAA compliant and they won't share the information outside of anybody else.
Okay.
There are certain things that the company needs to do to be HIPAA compliant. They can be really, really secure, but if they don't silo your information. So let's say Joanna and I are both under company A and we're both with Go High Level under company A. That company A needs to pay for the BAA because then Go High Level has to silo that information to make sure there's no way that Joanna can see my information and I can't see Joanna's information. I don't see how we'd be able to do that anyway, but there's something about that technology that makes it more expensive, and that's why they charge you more for it. That's what that is. It's an agreement that they give you that is signed by both parties. It's not a non-disclosure. It's called a BAA. It's a very specific agreement, just like creditable coverage. No, that's a specific thing. Same thing with the BAA.
So I actually am interviewing Agency Block in a couple weeks. They have some new technology that I didn't know that they had, including a VOIP. So I have a couple Agency Block representatives as friends on Facebook, and we were talking about VOIPs on, I was mentioning on Facebook about how, AT&T was down a couple weeks ago.
I don't use them, thank goodness.
Well, I have phone lines with them, but I was on a cruise anyway. But I was like, guess who wasn't affected by this? All the agents who use VOIP, because your cell phone should not be your business line. It should not be. You shouldn't run a business off of a cell phone. Anyways, my friend Zach Jen was like, hey, Joanna, did you know that you already have that in your Agency Block account? Because I do use Agency Block. I have a bunch of CRMs. Let's be honest. I've tried them all. I use Agency Block personally myself. I manage all my licenses in there. I have a copy of all my PDFs of all my licenses in there. I manage my agency in there and everything. He said, I'm going to show you. So I'm going to demo it for everybody. But that may solve a couple people's conundrums. I actually have talked to my partner about getting our own Go High Level agency thing. And my partner, Zach, is pretty brainiac. He's built out my Go High. Yeah, he's a techie. He understands it. And, you know, we're like peanut butter and jelly, and he's the peanut butter. He holds us together. But he understands that. I was like, if we bought our own, I would need you to build it out. And he's like, I could do that. It is a little pricey, though, for a solo agent. It really doesn't make sense to do it. But if you have an agency distribution, maybe. But here's the thing. Most of my agents, I always encourage them to own their own CRM, because if you ever leave me, you want your data to go with you. You don't want to have to sit there and transcribe it.
Well, you could, Joanna, if you, let's say you created your own version of Go High Level.
Yeah.
You give them a guarantee that they would be able to download their data. There is an export feature.
There's an export. Okay.
Absolutely. You can export Go High Level. It's just the agency owner, not the sub agent. You would be the top agent, the agency, right? You have the ability to restrict that. That would suck if somebody did that. I don't expect that any of them would say we're not going to release that data. But I can tell you that before I make a choice on what I'm going to do, I'm going to get it in writing that I have the ability to export. Exporting data is not the one that I'm in right now. It's a big pain.
Yeah.
All of my notes are in there. Every time you change CRMs, it is huge pain. And the last one that I went on before the one I'm on now was with Salesforce. The company that I'm with now, they did the entire export for me. They said, we'll do it for you. But now to leave them, I don't know how I would get all my notes. I think I'm probably going to have to give up my notes. And then if we get audited, I'm not going to be able to prove what I did. But here's the thing. When did we start recording phone calls? Wasn't that 2022?
Yeah.
Or was it 2023?
No, we've been recording for a while.
Whenever it was, I'll have all those phone call recordings. So I would be able to pull up the phone call instead of the notes that I wrote and say, here's phone calls. So I think I'll be okay.
What has you looking for a new CRM?
The CRM that I use, which remember I told you it's financial planning specific.
Oh, yes, yes.
I was paying about $100 a month. The beginning of February, I was looking at my records and I was billed $360.
Holy cannoli.
Exactly. And I'm like, oh, my word, why did it more than triple in price? And what happened was the company that purchased my CRM just decided to jack up everybody's prices.
No bueno.
I'm not paying $360 a month.
I understand now. Yeah, it's a big jump.
Yeah, so now I'm like, okay, there's an urgency here. It's just ridiculous. I should have left them a long time ago. I have what I call workflows, but nothing is automated. It tells me when I need to do something, but I need to do it manually. But then I said I could get Go High Level for $100 a month. Huh? Now, I didn't tell them it wouldn't be HIPAA compliant, but I can get Go High Level with HIPAA compliances for $360 a month, I think.
A sub agent's account, $100 a month is normally what it's going for. There's a third person that I don't think owns an insurance agency that I'm going to ask. So this person, he actually made How to Train Your VA training and sent it to me complimentary because I was asking him because he has, from what I understand, he does a virtual a VA agency. And so I was just like, I'm trying to figure out how to train my VAs. And can you tell me what you have to offer? Because I would like to send him to your school, whatever. You know, he's like, oh, I just send you my training. I was like, why would you do that? But anyways, I'm going to see if he has what we need or buy my own, because I understand the frustration. I mean, right now I am under somebody who owns an insurance agency. It hasn't been a problem for me. I think they know that if they step on my toes, I'm not the nicest person to start a fight with. But at the end of the day, you have to protect your own business. And if you don't feel comfortable with what they do, then you shouldn't do any business with them.
I do believe that most of these agencies are going to play nice. I don't believe that they could. So I'm just saying, if I go as a sub-agent, I want it in writing. That way, if there's a problem, I can hand it to my attorney and say, they said that they would leave that export feature on, right? And you can probably check your account to see if the export feature is on or off. So that would tell you right now whether or not there's a problem with your current CRM. But I never go with any CRM where I can't export.
Yes, I made that mistake because there's some uplines out there, fancy features, but there's no export. And I went through that myself when I changed uplines last year, where I had to have my assistant spend over 100 hours. And it hurt. And they called me recently. I still have a good relationship with my previous upline, and I still have some contracts there. But I told them, I said, here's why I can't come back. You don't allow me to own my own data. You don't allow me to export my own data. I don't want to have to ever do this again. I'm not going to be any smaller in the future. Next time it might be 200. But I said, this is one of the reasons why I chose who I chose is that, well, I can go export everything right now. They're not going to get alerted. They're not going to care. It's my data. They believe in data integrity and security. They've preached that. I fully agree on that.
So the listener, the reason why we're talking about this and we started talking about email, it's all tied together. The way that you run your business, the way that you have your data, I mean, all of this is tied together. It's all how to protect your business and to protect your time and to protect your clients. And that's why we're talking about all of these things in the same episode. So just understand that you do need to think about things in a different way, not as an employee, because most of us came into this business before we were insurance agents, we were employees of some kind. So a lot of us still have that employee mentality where your employer owned your computer, your employer owned the data, your employer owned the clients. Now you own it, or you should own it. That's why we're saying protect your time. You own your time. You don't have an employer owning your time. You should own your data and you should own the time. And this is why it's so important not to let your email get out of control or your texting. And maybe we should have that person come in and talk about training your VA.
Definitely. To go off of that, Kathy, I think a lot of us only consider things for where we are today. I never imagined in my world's largest dreams that I would be today 4 years ago. Never imagined that I would have Top Flight. And so don't think of just today. Just like we tell our 65-year-olds, don't make a decision based off of how healthy you are today. Think about when you're 85. Think about what you're going to want at 85, because the decision you make then today affects then. Same thing. Don't make a decision based off of how new you are in the business or seasoned you are in the business. Make sure if this decision today, how is it going to affect me next year or 5 years, or 10 years? Would I make the same decision? Like, just like you were as a newly married couple thinking about, are we going to have kids? How many bedrooms should we have? If how many kids are we going to have? Because you want to buy the house to accommodate the size of family that you want, not just you and your dog today, right?
Right.
Same premise. Think about your potential growth and the decisions you're going to make then. Am I going to ever want to put this data, spend 100 hours changing my data and everything? It's a pain in the butt. Trust me, I've been there before.
When you bought your new house, were you thinking, oh, I need a bedroom just in case my co-host Kathy needs to come and stay for a couple of weeks? Was I in your mind at that point?
You were. So when I went house hunting, I had a crew with me. I had three of my lovely agents from Texas with me. Some drove down 4 hours from Dallas, and we went house hunting because the premise is, I knew that my house would be agent central. I knew it would be family central. I wanted a place where I could work and live and have the ambiance. Sometimes, Kathy, I don't leave the house for a week. I leave the house just to go get my nails done or go get some grocery. And so you want some ambiance. You want it to be more than just going upstairs and downstairs. I had a list of particulars, but when I entered that house, the front door swung open. Those three ladies, we all went through, and then those three ladies ran upstairs and picked out their bedrooms.
So listener, she didn't have me there. I wasn't part of the three ladies, but I know she had me in her mind. So
I have rooms. It's a 5-bedroom house. And so my parents are divorced, so they have to have separate bedrooms. And I could even have them on separate parts of the house. But I made sure that there was room for my mom, room for my dad, room for a traveling agent. Because last AEP, I had an agent living in my house for AEP that was traveling. Yeah, even room for a guest. So plenty of room, plenty of desk space too. My new office there is like, I don't know, 30 by 20. It's massive. So I can have like 5 different desks if somebody wants to come over and collaborate and work and stuff. And it does have an in-ground heated pool and a hot.
All right.
Yes.
Awesome. So I cannot wait to come visit the Joanna Wyckoff co-working space. But that's the kind of thing we're talking about. Think about what you want things to look like in the future and try to plan at that point. So listener, we hope that this has been a good episode for you. Just remember, try to keep focused, try to keep organized, and look to the future. So thanks so much for listening. Joanna, thank you. This was a good topic. We'll see you next time on the Insurance Business Babes podcast. Bye.
Bye.